Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to the Friday Five with me, Liz Earle, and my regular weekly look at something that has caught my eye in the world of well-being. And lactoferrin continues to be a bit of a buzzword following on from my podcast last week, as well as the launch of a new booklet to help women who have had a naturally early or surgically induced menopause, perhaps due to cancer treatment. But first, lactoferrin, and so many of you are already raving about the powers of this simple natural ingredient that's already there as part of our immune system and the way it seems to be able to stop a cough or a cold dead in its tracks. And if you haven't already, do tune in to my IGTV and Facebook Live. That was this week with the nutritional therapist Emma Davies, because we explored the role that this nutrient has to play in gut health, as well as many autoimmune issues. And if you want to catch that, the easiest way probably is to head over to the Liz Earle Wellbeing YouTube channel, because it went live there on Wednesday and it's just easy to tune in. You can listen to it or watch it, whichever you prefer. And I'm delighted to say that Stephanie Drax, who was here with me last week, she's the founder of Leapfrog Remedies, the first British lactoferrin supplement company, is still giving us a bit of a discount here now, just as well, because it's proving very popular. You just have to use the code LizLoves, that's all one word and all in capitals, to get 10% off your order. And that's over on her website, which is leapfrogremedies.com. So just use LizLoves, all in one word and all in capitals, to get 10% off. And actually, talking about LizLoves, if you are familiar with my Liz Earle Wellbeing website, you may like to know that we now have so many LizLoves discount codes and offers that we've put them all together in one article. They're streamlined, they're listed A to Z. So if you fancy checking it out to see what other great deals you can get your mitts on, just head over there. Or if you hear me talk about anything or you've seen anything on any of my social media posts, there are the chances that it will be on offer if you add your discount code. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning here, this week saw the publication of a really useful booklet all about early menopause and how best to navigate hormone health after treatment for cancer, which can plunge so many women into an early menopause literally overnight. So to unwrap that a bit by way of an explanation, a naturally premature menopause or early menopause is more common than we might think. It affects about 1% of all women before the age of 40. And in addition to that, there are increasing numbers of women experiencing premature ovarian insufficiency, and you may have seen this referred to as POI, due to surgery or to cancer treatments. So the exact number of younger women affected is unknown, but the figures do run into the hundreds of thousands. And what is really scary is the lack of women's healthcare and doctor knowledge in this area, even in some cases, I'm afraid to say, from the specialists and the consultants who should know very much better. So I am delighted to welcome onto my Friday Five an inspiring young woman, Ellie Waters, who was diagnosed with teenage cancer, which led to courses of chemo and radiotherapy, which then led to her having a premature ovarian insufficiency, that POI. Several years on, she is thankfully now in remission, and she's using her life-changing experience to help others who might experience a similar cancer treatment trauma. And here she is to talk about it. So welcome, Ellie. It's lovely to have you joining me, and congratulations this week on the publication of this really amazing booklet. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here.
I know, it's great. It's really good to share some good news for a change. Yeah. Talking about your own cancer journey, shall we start with that? Because that might give people a kind of an insight. How old were you when you were diagnosed with cancer?
I was 14 years old.
And did that come completely out of the blue? Was there any indication that it might be an issue for you? Do you have it in your family?
No, it was completely out of the blue. I actually had a lump in my left butt cheek that kept growing and growing and growing for several months, but not in a million years did cancer ever cross my mind. I remember at the time there was these cancer adverts where it showed, you know, if you have this lump that's getting bigger, you know, go see your doctor. But even that didn't kind of penetrate my mind, in a sense. It, because you're 14, you think that you're invincible and you're not supposed to get cancer. So I kind of just waited until it got really bad and then went and saw a doctor.
Oh, Ellie. And of course, I think that's such an important message, actually, before moving on to talk about other things, is that in this time of lockdown, there are so many cancer screenings that are going missed, and lumps and suspicious moles and growths and all sorts of things going unchecked. So yeah. I guess that's a real case in point, isn't it? That, you know, you need to get in front of some medic if you had the slightest suspicion that something might not be right. So then how quickly did they diagnose your cancer?
So initially the GPs thought it was an abscess. And with multiple courses of antibiotics, the abscess was getting bigger. So that's when they sent me to get abscess removal surgery. But of course, they opened me up and saw it wasn't an abscess. It was actually a tumour. And then it really only took about a week to then diagnose me properly with stage 4 alveolar rhabdomyosarcoma.
Gosh, that is a very long and scary sounding name. That is ovarian cancer, is that right?
No, it's a rare child of cancer of the soft tissues, but because it's a soft tissue, it could be anywhere in your body. So mine was, the primary site was in my left butt cheek, but it did spread to the bones, the leg, the abdomen.
Gosh, and then you ended up having a full hysterectomy, is that right?
No, I didn't have any sort of like surgical menopause in that sense. Okay. I had to have 18 months of chemotherapy, nine months of that being intensive, the rest sort of maintenance chemo, and all of that damaged the ovaries. But what really finished them off was the pelvic radiotherapy, because the radiation directly targeted them. So that's when they properly failed.
Oh, honey. So you kept your organs, but obviously
they're not functional.
Right. So as a result of that, losing the function of your ovaries, you were completely plunged headlong into a surgical menopause.
Yeah, pretty much.
And did they prepare you for that?
No, they made it seem like the most easy thing ever, which was the hardest part. Yeah, because it was about 6 months after I finished treatment. And they said, have your periods come back? I say no. They test my blood and they realise that the oestrogen is rock bottom. They said, oh, you've gone into the menopause. I'm going to start you on a sort of low dose of HRT. But I wasn't given any sort of information other than that in my own little ignorant mind at 15 years old. I thought,
nobody talks about menopause anyway, let alone.
No, exactly. So in my mind, menopause meant no periods, and that's as far as that went. But I was ignorant to the fact that there's a whole host of other symptoms that go along with that. But I was never, ever prepared for that.
Yeah. What a shock. What were your main symptoms?
So my main symptoms were hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal atrophy, vaginal dryness, fatigue, aches and pains, but it was hard to differentiate between the side effects of the chemotherapy and the menopause, because they're so synonymous with one another. So for a long time, I just thought, oh, I'm just recovering from the chemo. This is how it's affecting my body. But once I got to about 3 years in remission and I knew I shouldn't be feeling worse, that's when I sort of kind of delved in deeper and realised it was probably the menopause that was the cause of all my problems.
Absolutely. And then where did that lead you? Where did you turn to after that realisation?
After that realisation, I had an oncology appointment and they sort of disregarded it in a sense. They said, oh, no, we'll just increase your oestrogen by a little bit, by about 10 micrograms or so. But I knew in my gut, because I did so much research about it, that wasn't the right thing for me. So I asked to see an NHS endocrinologist. But the NHS endocrinologist was equally unhelpful. So I got to a sort of point of desperation whereby I listened to pretty much all the podcasts from Dr. Newson. So I knew that she was my key to getting the right menopause treatment. We're going to do it, Ellie. And that's when I got the treatment from Dr. Newson. That was the best thing that I did, because that was sort of the start of my life again, because she gave me the treatments I needed, and now I feel a million times better as a result.
So what did she do for you then that was different? Did she increase the estrogen? Did she give you other things?
Yeah. Well, the first thing was more of a holistic approach, I suppose, was actually listen. The other doctors sort of disregarded my problems and put it all down to the chemo, where she saw past that. And the main thing that she did, so she increased the estrogen. I was on a measly 20 micrograms when I saw her, but then she upped it all the way up to 160. I'm now on 300. I'm 300 micrograms now. I was only on 20.
From 20 to 300. No wonder you're feeling dreadful.
Yeah.
And I have to say, for dear listeners, sadly, you can't see the lovely Ellie, but as we're recording this, I can actually see you on my computer screen. You do look absolutely beaming, the picture of health, and very radiant. So clearly, that all that estrogen in your body is doing some good.
It certainly is. I felt like I was 18 going on 80 before. I think my doctor, well, the NHS endocrinologist certainly treated me as another one of his old ladies, whereas Dr. Newson, you know, kind of saw me as a young woman and kind of treated me differently as a result. And then she also gave me the local oestrogen, because at the time I was studying for my A-levels and it was becoming unbearable to even sit through exams because of the pain in that area. And my other doctors disregarded it, said, no, we won't give you any local oestrogen, it's not necessary. But luckily, Dr. Newson did. And then the most important factor of all, really, is the testosterone, which my oncologist certainly didn't want me to have. But I knew from the research, I was only replacing what I didn't have. So it wasn't like I was overdosing.
So why did you get such a negative feedback from your NHS specialists then? Why were they anti-testosterone when we know that women produce it naturally and need it, and obviously going through your procedures you would be missing it?
I just think it's a lack of education, to be honest. I think it's in the medical world, I think it's still seen very much as a male hormone. I think the reason I wanted it was because of energy, low energy levels, and then the loss of libido. And I think these are two doctors, sometimes a bit of trivial problems. They're not, for a cancer doctor, they think, oh, we treat the cancer with the hard drugs. Like, who cares if you're left with low libido?
No energy and no sex life.
Trivial problems. I think they sort of, they're not life-threatening. That's how I'm going to call it, life-threatening problems. And I think testosterone, because it's not been trialed on women as such, especially in this country, there's still a lot of issues surrounding it. But I don't really see the problem, because I'm just replacing what I don't have. It's not like I'm overdosing or anything. But my endocrinologist, every time I talk to him, he's like, oh, you know, it could cause heart problems in the future and all these sort of things. But I always say to him, every time, I'm just replacing what I don't have. Nothing more, nothing less.
Isn't that crazy that you are educating the consultant endocrinologist? I think it's really interesting to point out here that women actually make more testosterone in our ovaries than we do estrogen.
Yeah, that's what I told him as well.
You told him that, did you?
He was blown away. But
he was blown away. You are not serious.
He was blown away. And he said, because I had a blood test result of zero pretty much for my testosterone. He said, a normal range for any woman is zero to 0.5. And I thought, zero for a young woman in her teenage years? That is not normal. I don't need a medical degree to know that. So that's why I'm glad I saw Dr. Newton is a huge advocate for it.
Yes. That's really terrifying. And in fact, I've talked on my podcast here not that long ago, actually, and I did a little video for YouTube about vaginal atrophy and dryness and the recurrence of UTIs, you know, urinary tract infections and cystitis and urge incontinency and all of that. And all of that is very much linked to lower levels of estrogen. And to your point, even people who have an estrogen receptive cancer can still use localized vaginal estrogen in forms of creams or pessaries or whatever, because it's considered entirely safe. It's not systemic. It doesn't go through the body. It's just localized.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And for you, you know, that's interesting, isn't it, that you're on such a high dose of estrogen, and yet you still needed to have that localized help.
Yeah, but I think part of the reason was because I had a lot of damage down there from the radiotherapy, because the radiotherapy was all in that area. I got burns all to that area. So I think I needed that extra top up just to kind of help kind of heal everything, I suppose.
Sure.
Because I was I'd never had any sort of vaginal examination ever during my treatment. And sort of for older women, pelvic radiotherapy, the sort of general protocol is to give them sort of a vaginal examination and some sort of dilation therapy. But because I was only 14 years old, that was never addressed to me ever. So I was sort of left in the dark, didn't really want to talk about my problems to the oncologist, because I guess at 14 years old, do you really want to talk about your vagina that openly? I didn't know what was normal either. That was my problem.
So it was
hard. I did receive inadequate treatment as a result.
You have been through it, and what an advocate you have become, because this little booklet is just so helpful. And I think it's worth pointing out that even if it's not surgically induced, you know, early onset menopause for young women, it's not that uncommon, is it? I mean, there's a whole charity, the Daisy Network, which is out there to support young women, you know, precisely because there is such a need.
Yeah, exactly. I think people don't realise that it's actually not that rare, and the help for it is, you know, it's barely existent. You know, we've got the amazing Daisy Network, fortunately, but, you know, the help from the doctors is fairly non-existent. And I've heard from many other young women that they had the one sort of chat about the menopause and never saw their doctor again about it. So that just shows how little regard the menopause is given, especially for young women, when we know that not only can it impact them physically, but also have a huge impact on their mental health. So it's something that there needs to be much greater awareness and education about.
Yeah, well done for being part of that. And how are you now?
I'm feeling absolutely amazing, like compared to what I was a year ago, where I was doing my A levels, didn't know how I was going to sit through my exams because of my horrendous vaginal atrophy, and just feeling like I was 18 going on 80. It's like a complete parallel now. I feel like the main thing that was hindering my cancer recovery was the menopause. And now that I've left that baggage behind, I can really just get on with my life. Like I've applied, well, I've got into medical school, so I'm going there, yeah, in September. And I'm in the meantime, I've got a job at a nursing home and I work, you know, sometimes 5-12 hour shifts a week. And before, there would have been no way I would have been able to do that, have the energy for that. So I've got that all to owe to the amazing hormones.
Well, I'm sure you're helping others along the way. It's very interesting. I remember having a conversation with Dr. Newson about the use of localized estrogen in nursing homes.
Yeah, I've actually talked to the nurses about that because a lot of the old women, they do have issues down there and they constantly complain of pain. And I talk to the nurses and say, have you ever considered local estrogen as opposed to some sort of fresh cream, which is probably not actually the problem. So I have definitely changed mindsets within the care home, which is nice.
Fantastic. Yeah, localized estrogen for older women, you know, in terms of, you know, itching, burning, irritation, dryness, urinary tract infections, all of those things, you know, so simple, so safe.
Yeah, because it's such a horrendous affliction to have. When I had it, it was just constant. You could you could just feel it all the time. So I couldn't imagine some of the residents that I deal with, they can't talk for themselves or communicate properly. So I just couldn't imagine the unbearable pain that they're in all of the time. So I think maybe it should, you know, should be given just generally, like not even, especially with some of them who can't talk, just, you know, it's not going to hurt giving it. So if it's going to make them more comfortable, then I think it's worth it.
So can I ask you then, what area of medicine are you going to specialise in?
I've been talking to Dr. Newson, seeing what amazing work she does. I am really interested in obstetrics and gynaecology. But then equally, I'm interested in paediatrics. I love a bit of 24 hours in A&E. So I have no idea, to be honest, but I'm just going to go in with an open mind and see what I like. But I think women's health is, I've found such a fascination with it over this past year where I've just read books and podcasts. It's just amazing how amazing females are, to be honest, and how our physiology works and things. So I think it'd be, you know, you never get bored.
I have to say how amazing females are, and you are amazing, and well done for coming through such adversity with such a triumph. And I'm sure you will help very, very many, and I shall be keeping an eye on your future career.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you for being with me. Well, what an inspiring young woman, and so heartwarming to hear of how Ellie was able to turn such a dreadful health diagnosis into something so positive to help others. Can you imagine not even being able to sit down to do your exams? I mean, it just defies belief, doesn't it, really? And again, doesn't this just highlight how very important it is to get any unusual lumps, bumps, swellings checked out by a doctor? And yes, I know we're in a lockdown situation at the moment, but medical appointments are important and absolutely are happening. So do please insist on seeing someone face to face if you need to, and don't take no for an answer. Well, who knows what would have happened had Ellie not had hers checked out. I have to say, though, I did hold my head in my hands when she told of her consultant endocrinologist, an alleged specialist in hormones, didn't know that women produce testosterone. That bit was pretty scarily shattering, don't you think? Well, I do hope that he or she is better informed now for the sake of their current patients. Well, Ellie's free downloadable booklet is called A Young Woman's Guide to Menopause After Treatment for Cancer and is available free of charge from Dr. Louise Newson's clinic website, which is, of course, menopausedoctor.co.uk. Just look under resources, where you will also find many other brilliantly helpful booklets. I've just checked, they're all there. You will find perimenopause, surgical menopause, help for healthy bones, menopause in the workplace, histamine intolerance, and much more. You can also find lots more help and resources on the Daisy Network charity's website, and their web address is daisynetwork.org. Well, just time for some thank yous, especially for kind comments sent in to my wellbeing team and me. Lovely to hear from you. Here are some that we have been sent that came into my studios by email, which is hq@lizellewellbeing.com, or messages that we have picked up from our various social media channels. This one from YouTube says, I've just done my morning stretch with Liz on YouTube. Thanks. Really helpful, as are all your YouTube videos. Very grateful. Thank you very much. That is anonymous. This one actually is from another Liz, and it came in by email. It says, I wanted to support Liz on recommending not listening to the usual media negative news and switching to talk radio, which I did about 4 months ago. Liz is right. There is lots of good news out there. And I'm personally looking forward to getting the vaccine when it's my turn. In brackets, I'm 61. Sending all the best to everyone in the team. Thank you very much, Liz, on email. This one from Rekha, also on email, who says, Hi, Liz. I've been watching and loving your live shows since last summer and have learned so much that has benefited myself and family. Thanks for everything you do. You are a good person. Oh, thank you very much, Rekha. I certainly try. This from Caroline on email. I'm a very frequent listener to Liz's podcasts and I love them. Full of useful information. Many thanks for everything. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much, Caroline. If you are listening out there today, I hope you have enjoyed today's little program. Fatima on Instagram writes, thank you so much, Liz. You have raised so much awareness. Amazing for all that you do. Also on Instagram, Chris, what an inspiration. So many people at these hard times possibly don't realize what you do. Simply stunning. Stay safe. Excellent. Well, you know what to do, Chris. Share the word. Totally. Let's get it out there. And this one from Murray on Instagram saying that was such a lovely interview. I think that might be the interview actually that I did earlier with Ruby Hammer, who was talking about her menopause experience, the lovely makeup artist. If you caught that on Instagram, it's also on YouTube if you want to catch it. She's a great lady. I've known her so many decades. I think we worked out that we go back about 35 years, if you can believe it. And Murray says, such a lovely interview, Liz. Thank you for all the work you're doing on the menopause. It's been so crucial for so many women like me to learn. Well, it's good to share, and I feel very pleased and privileged to be in a position, especially with my podcasts, when you actually decide to pop me into your ears. It's a privilege and something that I do guard preciously. So thank you. Just to say, as always, for clicking the 5-star buttons at the end of this podcast, it's great to be able to spread the word, as I say, far and wide, and to share so much of the good news, as well as hopefully helpful insights from the world of well-being. I really do appreciate you giving me a star rating, because it does genuinely enable us to reach more listeners who will then hopefully find it both interesting and useful. Well, that is it from me for this week. Wishing you a very happy weekend and a healthy week ahead. Thanks so much for tuning in. Go well. Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.